There's a pretty consistent theme that runs through a lot of great stories. And the theme is that a lot of, especially children's stories, but others, where the main character is an orphan, that they don't have parents. Think here, Charles Dickens, Oliver Twist. Think here, Bruce Wayne, Batman. Think here, Spider-Man, Peter Parker, Cinderella. Not to mention every other Disney princess basically doesn't have a stable family. It's like Moana is basically the only one who got out of it alive. And what's the girl from Encanto? Doesn't matter. Her. But there's a different homily in all of that, which is they begin with adversity and work through it, right? But why I think it captivates our imaginations, it's like right at the beginning of the story you learn something's wrong here. Like, you should have an adult in your life who's caring for you, who's protecting you, who's leading you. Something's off here already at the beginning. You see the conflict, and it rises in our hearts so quickly that it makes no sense to be orphaned, to be left, especially as a young, vulnerable person by yourself to figure the crazy world out. And why that resonates, I think, so profoundly is that it's capital T true. Like, a child deserves to grow up with a mother and a father, loving them, protecting them, leading them, nourishing them. And if it's capital T true, like so many great stories are, it's always going to point us back to God the Father. It's going to point us back to Jesus. It's going to point us back to the Holy Spirit, because He is the way, the truth, and the life. And so what we see in here is that Jesus gives us this promise. I will not leave you orphans. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. That you and I, as we walk through this journey of life, we have our physical parents, but we know deep down there's something in us that is attached to God, tethered to God, that He has expectations, He has desires for us that are way bigger than we can accomplish on our own. And He gives us this promise that I will not leave you orphans, that I will send my Holy Spirit to you, to be your advocate, to speak on your behalf. And so Jesus prays. This is the night of the Last Supper in John chapter 14. He says to His disciples, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And that's hard. But if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And He says, and I will ask the Father. And I will ask the Father, which is what the Mass is, by the way. Like, what the Holy Mass is Jesus pleading to the Father on our behalf, that you have the priest who stands in persona Christi, in the person of Jesus Christ, that I say, this is my body. My name's Andrew. It's not my body. This is my body is Jesus speaking to us. This is my body given up for you. So the priest stands as Christ, the head of the church, and you are her members. You are the body of Christ. So all of Christ is praying, pleading to the Father on our behalf. We say it over and over during Mass. It's this cry from the depths that the Father would have mercy upon us. So Jesus says, and I will ask the Father, and He will give you another advocate, another one, because Jesus has been a good advocate speaking on our behalf, an advocate to be with you always, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot accept, because it neither sees nor knows Him. This other advocate, the Holy Spirit, because in the face of danger, in the face of the accuser, the evil one who whispers lies to us, who tries to tempt us, pull us away from a loving God who's brought us into His family, that the accuser always becomes an obstacle to God's plan, God's mission in our lives. So Jesus sends us another advocate, the Holy Spirit. You got to think here, because Easter happens, the Christ is risen, He's with His disciples, His friends for 40 days. Thousands of people see Jesus walking around, talking, eating, His glorious wounds still there. And then there's 9 days after Jesus ascends into heaven. 9 days where the apostles have this great insecurity arise. What are we to do now? He's been teaching us. He's had the game plan this whole time. What do we do? And you see the apostles hiding out for fear of the Jews. They think, well, you did that to Jesus. Are you going to do the same thing to us? And the apostles are waiting for this promised Holy Spirit. And so 50 days after Jesus rises from the grave, the Holy Spirit rushes upon the apostles, and with newfound vigor, with newfound conviction, they go out and preach and teach. And on the first day, 3,000 people were baptized. That's the power of the gospel. That's the power of God sending an advocate to plead on our behalf in the midst of an otherwise orphan spirit. And I think those 9 days in the upper room as the apostles were waiting, there's this orphan spirit that creeps in that says, you're all alone. That God's not looking out for you anymore. That you have to figure all this out. That your life isn't fully full of meaning. It's all up to you. And we can succumb to that orphan spirit too often, where I feel like God the Father only tolerates me. He's at a far distance. He just tolerates my existence, but he's not pleased by me in any sense. And if you need to be convicted of sin, you need to be convicted of sin. But yet, he doesn't look at you and see your sin. He looks at you and sees his son or his daughter who belongs in his family, that maybe we're the prodigal who walked away, and yet, so long as the prodigal comes back, the father embraces him with open arms. Or maybe we're the elder brother who's bitter and stubborn in the corner, saying, you hold out from me. You don't give me good things. You don't bless me in the ways that I desire. But when God the Father looks upon us, he sees his son and his daughter. So we don't need to give heed to this orphan spirit that says, somehow or another, I have to figure this all out on my own. And of course, today is Mother's Day. Mothers, from the moment they find out that they're pregnant, they feel this great responsibility over this child. Everybody out here wants rights. You know, I want a right to this and I have a right to that. But man, with motherhood, right off the bat, you get this responsibility of carrying, nurturing this child. And we're so grateful. All the sacrifices that are met, all the sacrifices that are demanded of you, the patience. Moms, I think you confess impatience all the time to me. I think it just comes out of your mouth. But you are terribly patient because we wretched children don't have our lives figured out. But we need you to be the stable rock. You are the glue that keeps your family together. Praise God. Yesterday, I was with my sister over the weekend, and she's got a year and a half-year-old, Alexander. He's crazy. I don't know how many things of bubbles he pulled out yesterday. At least 12. Lots of bubbles everywhere. And I'm there on the driveway thinking, that's kind of enough, brother. That's enough bubbles. But there's my sister, patient, doting on her child. Like, you are the glue that keeps us all together. God, the Father, does not leave us as orphans, nor do you, mothers to your children, that you are what keeps the family together. God the Father, Jesus promises us, I will not leave you orphans. So we take God as our Father, which means we are sons and daughters, which makes us brothers and sisters in Christ. And we have a real responsibility to look out for each other and to bring others into his family. That God the Father adopts us orphan-spirited children. He adopts us into his family, which is why we can truly cry out, our Father. We dare to say it because it's so ludicrous. No other religion would call God Father. It's so nuts. You call God Father. That's a scandal to the rest of the world that we have this family proximity to God the Father. And yet we do it boldly because we're not orphans. He promised, and so he'll fulfill it. Today, in a special way, we entrust ourselves that Jesus pours the Holy Spirit into our lives so that we wouldn't be this orphan spirit, but that we'd be welcomed into God's family. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you always.